partners and him.
There's no fun left on
heaven.
Full chorus.
Wow.
Whoa.
That was loud.
Wine and women and a song and women.
Yeah, I agree. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the October 11th edition of Opinions Playhouse, brought to you by Mark and Jason, sponsors of Dan Strauss and providers of financial advice for people who have $25,000 or more. We'll give you their website, a little bit about them, tell them who out there of you might want to set up a meeting with them and that it's complimentary. I'll give you much more because then I'll give it all away. There'll be nothing left for the commercial. Welcome to the Playhouse on this, I don't know, semi-gloomy Wednesday. We'll do some stuff, but first...
Hey!
All right. Boy, do we have a lot of introductions to do today. Let's start with the control board operator. He's not that good yet, but he might be good one day. We're going to give him a little more time here. He is Trevor Limey Phillips from Birmingham, England. Oh. Yeah. Now, what did you say that's called?
That is Rule Britannia.
And it's the equivalent of our Hail to the Chief. It's not your national anthem, but it's like Hail to the Chief for us.
Okay. Yep,
say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
That's Limey. Dan Levi Strauss is in the house with Trouser Mouse. Dan, how's it going? First it's music. Dan Levi Strauss in the house. No, okay, now we got an issue. Okay, hold on, we got an issue. Stop the music.
I didn't know which one you wanted to go with, the zipper or the song.
Well, we have to have the zipper. And I think now that we've introduced the song, we have to kill the polka music just long enough for Only Had a Brain. Can we?
And if I only had a brain.
Okay, then you hit the polka music
again.
See. Dan, say hi to your sponsor.
I would love to say hi to Mark and Jason. They are from Steeple Nicholas. And if you have...
Hold on, stop music. I was going to say
if you have $25,000 or more, but I didn't want to say that. I wanted to say...
That doesn't, what you just said makes no sense.
I know.
I was going to say it, but I didn't want to say it.
Well, I didn't want to say that because you said it. I was just kind of copying what you said, and I was supposed
you know
to
what?
Say...
This show is now a disaster.
What I was going to say is if you're retiring or changing jobs, and then... You contact Mark and Jason and have them check everything out.
Lucky for you, we brought our editing equipment with us from the other station.
Thank
so
God
we
goodness.
Can edit out.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
thank
about
goodness.
That.
Yeah, we'll edit out all of that horrible stuff you just did that was really bad. You're a professor.
The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of this station, its management, the staff, the listeners, or anybody else.
Now, that guy does a morning show somewhere. He does. I recognize that voice. Okay, let's pretend you didn't even do any of that. Because my goodness, how embarrassing if a student of yours heard what you just did. You're
well, they won't. We edited it out.
Yeah,
oh, you know
gone.
What?
Yeah, it's gone.
What am I thinking?
All right, start over.
Take two in 3, 2, 1. Action.
Dan.
Say hi to your sponsor. I stopped something.
I'd like to say hi.
No, let's edit that out.
Wow, I think we lost every listener.
All right.
Both of them. Now, listen, we'll do this again, and I'm going to say in 3, 2, and I won't say one. You take a beat, and then you just say, and then I'll say, Dan, say hi to your sponsor. Okay, edit two. In 3, 2, 1. Dan, say hi to your sponsor.
I would love to say hi to Mark and Jason. They, if you.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
If you are retiring or are changing jobs, have Mark and Jason check your portfolio out. They are with Stifel Nicholas, member SIPC, NYSE. And if you want to go to Mark.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
And if you want to go, and if you want to go to Mark and Jason. You have to be the worst teacher.
Put him to sleep.
No, that's Dr. Doug.
Put him to sleep.
That's Dr. Doug. Sorry.
That should be a recording. That needs to be a sound.
Stop, oh, my stop goodness. Music again. Are you okay? No,
yes.
Really. Serious.
Me?
Are you okay? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine. That one comment just kind of.
Did you drink any Orange Julius today by any chance?
No.
Because I just read an article that the people having, you know, like Julius seizures when they drink this stuff. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's try to get to edit three. But actually, edit four. 3, 2, 1. Dan, say hi to your sponsor.
I want to say hi to Mark and Jason.
No, if, forget it. You know what?
If Mark, you're retiring.
Let's just do this. Okay. And go to
MarkandJason.com.
There you go. This next member of the cast is, and this is not a joke, his real job, he is a private investigator. He is a private investigator.
Well, you have to say his name.
No. When you say private investigator, then you hit rocket fun. Oh. And then you go, he is the one and only.
Okay, I like that.
Tim Woodward. Yeah, I've been doing this for 35
All
years.
All right.
Well, I know how to do this.
Yep.
You're just a kid.
Okay.
You're just a child.
Yep.
And you've only been in the studio like
You're
six
right.
times in your whole life. Tim Woodburn, how are you today?
I'm excellent. The day's just flying by.
It sure is.
This hour's not, but this day
is. Oh, yeah, the day is. The hour is like a week.
This hour is like 4 hours long.
Seems
already.
Like a week. Now, we actually have a female in the room. She is, I don't call her much by her name. Like, if she calls me on the phone or I call her Lady. That's what I. That's right. Yeah. Got her own music too. Say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
All right. Of course, Hebe Jimenez. he's had a security and he's protected us for years and years and years. There's not a scratch on us, thanks to Hebe. Bernice is in heaven.
You're also kind, yeah.
And my sons are in the restaurant business, and again, this is not a joke. And this really irritates them when church groups. And Amanda's heard him talk about this. When they come in to eat, instead of a tip, they leave these little prayer pamphlets.
Oh, yeah. That's cheap.
It is. They'll leave scripture
cheap.
As a tip. So Radboy, I told Radboy that, and he said, what he'll do, they kind of perk people up, because sometimes he thinks waiters and waitresses get tired of money. Same old, what do you leave?
No.
Cheese. He leaves cheese. He just leaves like a little wheel of cheese or something there for him. And, of course, I think everyone knows that we're the only station in town, and we plucked them right out of that other station, as we did several people, and that's not a joke, Bruce Limpress and the All Boy Orchestra.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Turn that microphone over there. There it is. Yeah.
All right.
Man, I don't know what happened to me. That
you could have had a stroke.
No, that thing, when you your statement...
What?
Just
I don't think
me.
You can talk to
him. When you
know, the best part about this is that when Frank is talking to Dan, he stares at me.
And it creeps me out. He looks at osmosis, Dan, is coming through my face to Frank.
And I just realized I did that. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm just going to, like, I don't know, look at the ceiling or something. Now, Dan, what were you trying to say?
That when we played that disclaimer and the comment that you made afterwards, just kind of...
Yes. That's not a guy does a morning show? Is that right?
I believe it is.
Okay.
I believe it is.
We're brought to you by Mark and Jason. Those are two real people, Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. And they're both... I talked to Jason Becker for quite a while this morning. They're so nice that it seems like an act. Did you ever meet anybody and you think the first time you go, well, they were being nice because, you know, they just met me or they were in front of some friends. And then you meet them again and they're just as nice. And the third or fourth time they're just as nice. And finally you figure out, well, maybe they're just actually really nice. And that's exactly what people say when they are around either Mark or Jason or both. They're really nice guys. They also happen to be very smart. And some people you can look at and you can tell that guy or that woman is smart. You know what I'm talking about? They have a look, like a brilliant look.
A lot of
I can
tell
see what
that.
You're talking about.
Mm. Dan, not a lot Dan, of people.
Dan, not no, not Dan.
Dan has that.
No, when Dan said a lot of people tell me that, what he meant was a lot of people tell Dan, you know, Dan, some people look smart. They tell him that, but not about him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's I actually right. think there are some people that look stupid. I do. You can look at somebody and go, that guy looks really stupid. Now, you could be wrong, but unfortunately, they just were born with a stupid look. They
I
look
hear
stupid.
That, too.
Now, Mark and Jason are nice and friendly. But they have that look of people who did well in school, if that makes sense. Because you have to be smart, you have to be patient. And you have to know that financial industry. And I don't. The ins and outs and the conservative investments and the speculative. I don't know what short selling and I don't know any of that stuff. But they do it if you have $25,000 or more, unless you're pretty good at it or you do it for a living. How can it be a bad idea to get some advice, even if you already have a financial advisor? And if you are changing jobs or retiring, listen to me. My daughter is going to be changing jobs, not by choice, but she's sitting here right now out of work. Sorry, hang on. I thought I could include her and talk about it.
Are you okay? Yeah.
I thought I could. I just knew I could get through it. I thought, you know, on the car, on the way here, I thought I'm going to mention she's unemployed and I'll be fine with it. And then I broke. I broke down. Unprofessional. You're okay, though, I noticed.
Yeah, I'm here.
If you have $25,000 or more, even if you have a financial advisor, who would ever say it's a bad idea to get a second opinion? If you want to know more, you go to, and you want to set up that appointment, markandjason.com. It's complimentary, no pressure, no obligation. Larry Connors will be on right after this show at 6 o'clock. And I'm going to listen in the car because he's going to talk about a couple of things I want to hear him talk about. One is more of this Harvey Weinstein thing, and the other is this thing you heard Tim Woodburn mention on the news. What in the world is wrong with this country? Now the Cub Scouts, did I hear it right, have to take girls in the... At what point did we roll over and just because one parent said, my daughter wants up to be a Cub Scout, and by golly, you let her in or I'll take it to the Supreme Court. Now, when did we start this?
Will the Girl Scouts allow boys to come in?
Good question. That wasn't part of the story.
I don't know that any boys want to be Girl Scouts, these girls who are being raised by these feminist moms. Honey, I'm telling you right now, if you want to be a Cub Scout, I'll get an attorney and you will be a Cub Scout. When did we decide we had to go along with all this stuff? Here's a quick lesson. Cub Scouts are boys. Boy Scouts are boys. Brownies are girls. And Girl Scouts are girls. That's pretty easy.
That clears it up.
Yep. And that's the way it should stay. And you can call me anything you want. Now, my daughter is young. She's 29. Do you think that makes me an old weirdo for saying that?
No, I agree with it.
You weren't a Girl Scout. You couldn't have. You were too busy being a great tennis player. You didn't get to be. I was a Cub Scout.
But I don't see the problem with having Cub Scouts and Girl Scouts.
Well, there actually shouldn't be a problem. Just like there shouldn't be a problem with two restrooms. And they should put on one door a penis and the other a vagina. And if you have this one, you go in that restroom. If you have this one, you go in the other restroom, and that's it. But a lot of people would say that makes me just, you know. And Limey, you're a young guy.
I am a young guy.
Do you think a Girl Scout should be a girl and a Cub Scout should be a boy?
I do.
Well, see?
They'll probably just change it to Scouts.
Mm. I was in the
Cub
Scouts.
You know what? That's probably what they will do.
Scout.
I'm a Scout.
And it'll all be under one big umbrella with the girls and the boys.
As I read this, the new plan, it calls for Cub Scout dens to be single gender. So the young ones, it's going to be boys or girls. But the girls can still get into
a Cub
Scout.
But there'll be boy Cub Scouts and girl Cub Scouts.
But they'll be separated. They're not going to be like, you know, intermingling.
Okay,
but
then what's the point? If they're...
It's because the way the Boy Scouts, as I understand it, I wasn't a Boy Scout. As I understand it, this is all being steered toward the Eagle Scout rank, which was only offered to males.
Okay, do the Girl Scouts have an equivalent of the Eagle?
I don't know, but it's not called Eagle Scout rank, and this is the whole reason. So beginning in 2019, now girls can be Eagle Scouts, which is what only boys could be before.
Why don't the girls do the same thing?
Why don't they do Eaglet Scouts? So what's a female Eagle called?
I don't know.
Eagle.
An Eagle?
Okay, then they're also Eagle. And the girl, case closed.
Right.
I solved it. You're a girl Eagle Scout, you're a boy Eagle Scout, but no. We can't do it that way. That makes too much sense. Larry Connors will have a great show on that tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock.
Hey, I received a text from Johnny Holzem. He is with the Well-Hungarian.
No, yeah, he's the leader of the
Well-Hungarian. Yes, he is. But he sent me a text. He says, I'm listening to you from the Kennedy Space Center. I'm about to watch a SpaceX rocket launch. So he's listening from the Kennedy Space Center.
Wow, that's far.
Well, that's impossible. Our signal doesn't go that far. No. How can he do that?
Big ears.
What? Big ears. Now, this is where you're supposed to say app.
Oh,
app.
That's what I meant.
590 the fan. Now,
official app.
Well, you know, I know that Tim is probably old enough. You remember Walter Cronkite?
Oh, yeah.
I had the rare, the pleasure of speaking to Walter Cronkite the day before he died. Mm-hmm, what he said. And the same thing happened with the Godfather, Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. And I'll play you a little bit of it if you want to. He was at the Kennedy Space Center.
Love to hear it.
Well, this is right after I said, "Hey, Mr. Cronkite, thanks for taking the time to speak with me." Here's what he said.
"This is Walter Cronkite reporting live from the Kennedy Space Center."
"Mr. Cronkite, thank you for taking time to be with me. I hear you've taken ill. You don't feel very well. Is that true?"
"I'm not feeling very well. You're correct, Frank. But I will always be AM in the PM."
How about that? How about that? I'll never forget that. And then the next day he died.
Feeling a little gassy today.
I forgot to turn it off. I'll turn it off now. No, and then the next day he died. And you heard him say, "I'm feeling gassy." He didn't feel well. He died.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah. I forgot to turn it off again. Oh. If you are out there and you have a business and you'd like to advertise on this show and after today's show, why would you? But if you would, you email me, frankopinion@yahoo.com. And here's what I'll tell you right now. I get more email now. Hang on a second. This is where a lot of stations would have, they call it a cough switch. More email now than I did at the other place. And everything that's happening here, except for the phone system and the phone lines, tells me we have as many or probably more listeners now than we did then. And the deal with the phones, now Saturday morning's the yard sale again. And what happens is, because we have limited lines, we need about twice as many as we have, is that when they load, everybody gets a busy signal. And we don't have as many stacked up as we should be able to have. So all you do is when you hear the busy signal, you wait. You just keep dialing. And as soon as a caller is finished, it opens, you jump in. And you have to do it a little quicker than you would if we had all the phone lines we will eventually have in here. And it would also be really nice, and we'd love it if you would make a note of the number so you can call Scott Sherman, especially the 7 o'clock hour, 855-282-TALK. Lone Elk Park. Oh, let me say one other thing. What a pleasure it is to sit here and be able to do this show. And Dan, you know how this much better this feels than than to have to listen to 17 minutes of those overproduced commercials we used to have to listen to one after the other. And there were commercials that they wouldn't even replace or freshen up for years. Just the same stuff over and over and over. It's good to have a little time. Lone Elk Park. You see the elk attack?
Yeah, it's the second one in a month or so, isn't it? Well, the past couple months.
When the people driving through?
Yeah. Well, these people that I saw were walking and taking pictures.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. It's called Lone Elk Park. I saw like six elk.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a lie.
Yeah, it is.
That's misleading. Lone Elk. Doesn't that say to you, there's one elk?
Yeah. Well, when you're walking like through, the Lone you're Ranger. Just expecting to see one elk.
Hold on. Lone Ranger had a partner.
Yeah, Tonto.
But he was the Lone Ranger. There was only one Ranger. Mm-hmm. They didn't say...
He still had a buddy.
No, it's not the same. If there were two masked men and they called one the Lone Ranger, that would be a lie. It's called Lone Elk. There's a whole bunch of elk. So it's misleading. And I can see where people get attacked. They go, "Don't worry, honey. It's just one elk here. Mm-hmm. And we should be fine." And then next thing you know, what does an elk sound like? They make some kind of a thing like that.
I guess so.
It's a horrible, like,
that's like
it. I think that's it right there. That's it. Who did that?
Thank gosh.
That was me.
That was good. That just
sounds like you're throwing up.
No, I think I pooped in my
hands.
Know
what? I just looked over there. He did throw up.
Oh my God.
Is that an elk? That's an elk sound.
That sounds like a screaming baby.
Like a high bugle.
Oh, that hurts my ear.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's enough of that.
You hear that? Get out of Lone Elk Park. Seriously. And the reporter on TV said the elk was shaking its rack at visitors. Dan, I don't know who you're talking to.
No, nobody. Tell them. I'm listening.
You were just talking to the wall?
No. There was engineers standing outside the door. I didn't know if they were going to come in or not.
Tell them you're busy on the show.
I'm busy.
It said the elk was shaking its rack at visitors.
That's inappropriate.
And the reporter on TV who was telling the story was really well built. And all I could think of when she said that, you know, I'm serious. One last thing, and then we'll get to the joke. I watched the, oh, by the way, a guy who was in yesterday, Jim Yelton, the reviews and the feedback on him, 50-50. Half hated him, half loved him. So depending on who else we get in and how well they do, maybe we'll have to give Jim a second shot at it. But thanks for driving from Columbia, Missouri to do movie reviews. And one of the things he mentioned was a Steven Spielberg documentary. I watched this last night on HBO. This could be one of the three or four best documentaries I've ever seen in my life on somebody. It is absolutely worth watching. Steven Spielberg is one of those guys that once you take a good look at what he's done, you feel like you are mentally challenged, like you're not real smart.
Like you haven't accomplished enough.
Exactly.
I get it.
Because he has done so much. You watch the body of work and you go, how can one human being do all this? And you feel just ridiculously stupid. So it's just called Spielberg on HBO. Now, before I bring the ladies in, I'm either going to do old lady trying to join the biker gang or the kid who's dating the guy with the daughter with a heart condition. Now, does any you either one or any of you know enough about the joke?
I'm trying to remember.
I would kind of like to hear the heart condition one because that sounds like it's going to go somewhere.
Well, they all go somewhere.
I think it'd be funny.
Okay. That's what
they're
we'll
all
do.
Supposed to be funny, Trevor.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you.
Amanda, would you like to invite the ladies in?
Oh, I would love to. Hey. Hey, ladies, will you get in here?
Unnatural.
That's nice.
Unnatural. So this guy has a cute daughter and, she's a normal teenage daughter, but she has a heart condition. And so her parents are overly protective of her. Well, honey, be careful. And she has a boyfriend, and that, you know, that happens. Boys meet girls meet boys, and the parents can tell it's pretty serious. They spend a lot of time together, but they've never really been on a real date. You know, today, these kids, they get together, and this group meets another group. Let's meet a steak and shake or whatever, and they go out in, like, clusters, but then when it's serious, he goes over and, you know, meets the parents in the picture. And that's where this is now. That's the stage this relationship is in. And, of course, they're concerned about her, but they also want her to live a life. And so her boyfriend is coming over to the house to pick her up. And they're going to go out. It's the prom. That's a big night. And kids get special permissions to out after curfew. You know how that goes. You go to Dan, you drove a Porsche to the prom. I'll never forget you told us that. Yeah. Man, how lucky are you to be able to do that. And it's interesting because in this joke, young man pulls up and who loaned you the Porsche? Whose was it?
It was my stepdad.
That's it. In this joke, mm-hmm. It's the guy's stepdad.
Whoa.
How about that?
That's
his
wild.
Stepdad loans him his Porsche for the prom.
A 911?
Yes, a 911.
Wow.
And he pulls up and goes to the front door and her dad greets him and he says, I'm here to pick Elizabeth up for the prom, sir. He says, son, you look real nice tonight. I know it's a big night. A lot going on, and Elizabeth, your boyfriend's here to pick you up. He said, now listen, son. He said, she'll be down in just a minute, but I just want to, make sure you know she has acute angina. He says, oh, yes, sir, I do, and her boobs aren't bad either. Rise halfway through a walkie-talkie conversation. Hang on a minute. Smokey, you still there?
I am.
What were you saying?
I said I forgot I was supposed to call Mike on his cell phone.
All right. You got him now?
He's there.
Banded out.
Smokey out.
Okay. Now, interesting. One of the reasons I said I wish everybody could read all my emails, and I read every one of them, is what has always amazed me is two people can hear the exact same thing. And walkie-talkie is a good example. Yesterday, we brought in walkie-talkies because they built a $300,000 studio in here. And somebody just forgot that maybe the person on the other side of the glass might want to talk to somebody. And there's no intercom. They forgot it.
There's no way for us to talk.
So now they're going to put it in. But till then, I brought these walkie-talkies. I get an email from somebody who goes, that walkie-talkie thing is stupid. I hate it. I get another email this morning. I read, and he goes, oh, man, that walkie-talkie is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
The best part was Larry Connors coming in here last night, and he thought, like, you guys accidentally saying stuff to each other over the air that wasn't supposed to go there. You totally fooled, like, the most experienced newsman in St. Louis history.
And then Larry says when he knew what it was, he goes, that's brilliant. The walkie-talkie thing. not according to one emailer who goes, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You just can't. I made up an expression. You can't please some of the people all of the time, and you can't please all of the people all of the time. I made that up.
Wow. Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
All right, now it's time to hit his music. That's
and I would have to kind of agree. Well,
you don't like the walkie-talkie?
Well, it just depends on how long you do it. Yesterday, you did it for like an hour.
We did it one time.
Like an hour yesterday.
No, just now we did. That's called introducing it.
It's Mike's turn.
Oh, sorry. From Southern California, the Coachella Valley, to be specific, it is time to check in with Mike Evans, courtesy of Annie Gunn's Restaurant. That's in Chesterfield Valley. Next door to it is the Smokehouse Market. Same proprietor, same quality, both closed on Monday, and you'll need reservations for dinner at Annie Gunn's because it's real popular, and gift cards are always a good idea. They must be because they sell thousands of them every year. They're east of all that other stuff in Chesterfield Valley. Annie Gunn's in the Smokehouse, and now... here is Mike Evans.
Hey, everybody. So today I'm sitting outside a surgery center because Cheryl's having her cataracts done. Mm. So no wine, which is really a... Hi, Amanda. I heard Amanda.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
Hey, fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Okay, your pop quiz question, everybody. Today we're talking about celebrities that can't. So name the name of the celebrity who can't. Drive. Hmm. Barbra Streisand, James Spader, Cher, or Alex Trebek.
Well, he likes to do that, Alex Trebek.
Yeah, I did it yesterday, too, so I'm doing it again today.
It's funny what you said about Cher. It's funny you said about Cher because this morning I stopped in real quickly at a detailing place where they do a lot of the car detailing. And there's an Asian guy there. So what do you do? He said, I'm having my cataracts done. He said the same thing. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
What the hell does that mean?
Fine.
What does that even mean?
Like
detailing, car detailing. Oh, having my cataracts done.
Toyota.
Everybody
why
else.
Why don't you make it completely political incorrect and say it was on some Asian guy?
I just did.
He did.
I thought I did.
He did.
I said that. Yeah.
See, the correct word would be an Oriental person, not an Asian person.
Well, that's actually, now that really is incorrect.
That is definitely not polite, Mike.
See, your version would have offended people.
My version is wrong?
Yeah. Basically racist.
In Hawaii, it doesn't make any difference, but I know one is wrong and one is right.
Well, in this country now, all of a sudden, Oriental, for some reason, even though you can say Oriental rug, you're now not supposed to say somebody is Oriental. All of a sudden, that became bad. So my version of it was correct.
Okay.
And
I got a couple movie reviews for you today.
No, great. Let's go.
They open up tomorrow. The first one is called Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. It's a true story. It's about a very oddball Harvard professor in the 1940s who has this wife, and he also has a lover.
Yeah.
And he comes up with this idea it would be the best of the two of them, and he makes a comic out of it, and he calls her Wonder Woman, and that's how Wonder Woman, the comic book, started.
Our guy yesterday who auditioned for the movie reviewer, he mentioned it.
Yeah.
No, he did.
They had an open relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's this?
They had an open relationship. That's what Limey said.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They did. The women. So he reviewed it.
Yeah, he did. He liked it.
He liked it, actually.
I said it was hilarious. I think it could be an instant classic. I'm giving it 3 stars.
Did you mention yesterday the Spielberg documentary?
Yes, I did.
You saw it, right?
Yeah.
I watched it last night. I'm going to tell you, it's one of the 5 best documentaries on any person that I've ever seen.
I told you it was absolutely great.
Wow. I cannot recommend this enough for everybody. If you want to see what a true genius, and look at the life of a real genius, watch this thing.
Hey, Mike.
Are you going to go to my website and read about me? Same thing.
That's a good one.
Did you say that the movie that you just talked about, it was hilarious? Is it a comedy?
The Wonder Woman.
Certainly some funny parts to it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's very odd.
But it's based on
laugh out loud.
It's based on a true story.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The other movie is also based on a true story. Marshall is the name of it. It's about the young Thurgood Marshall who became the first black. Now, can I say black or do I say
African? No, I think black's still okay. This year it's still okay so far.
Mm-hmm. Dark complected. I don't know. What the hell? Anyway.
No.
Anyway.
My daughter's running the sound machine. She's not going to call for that.
Oh, she dropped it.
No, I did.
She gave it
you
to
gave
him.
It to her?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on one second. Hang on one second. Let's just pause. Mike Mike tricks you. He'll trick you and try to make you think he's singing accidentally.
Would you trick me, Mike?
Yes, he would. And don't give it to him. He'll go, all right, Dan. Don't give him any sounds.
Okay, fine.
Let me finish this up here.
Oh, all right.
Anyway.
He sounds so well.
There. I'll give you that one. Anyway.
There you go. Yeah.
Amanda farts right in my face. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Is this over yet?
First black Supreme Court justice. Oh, wait a second.
What?
What'd you do?
What are you doing?
Mike?
A quick public service announcement for young people who are thinking about drinking.
Well, this he's not right now.
No,
so.
He said he hasn't been drinking.
Oh, that's right.
Right now he's
sober.
Not.
Right now.
Yeah.
He's at the doctor's office.
And he can't function.
What happened?
Well, Cheryl is having, cataract surgery or something.
Oh, that's right.
Now,
Mike, you still there?
Mike? He said, hold on a second.
You still
did
deaf?
He put us on mute?
I don't know. I wonder if a doctor came out or something.
This is not professional.
Maybe he's gone.
It's not professional.
It's because of your sound effects.
I remember when my wife.
What happened there?
What happened?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to go now because they just called me and Cheryl's ready to be picked up.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Tell Cheryl.
What's the answer to the pop quiz?
Bye.
Leave us hanging.
I like to say something here.
You don't know what the answer to the pop quiz is.
How can a guy put that before this? Put a wife.
Selfish.
Selfish. Thank you.
His selfish. Wife getting out of surgery.
Selfish. My
what a heartless
we've had
man.
Three children, and every child, at each child's birth, I was on the air.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I didn't go off the
no,
air.
No, I'm serious.
I could not be more serious. In fact, I broadcast the show from the actual maternity ward thing for one of them. And yet, here's something that's...
Who was that sponsored by?
We didn't have a sponsor. Oh, if I thought ahead, I could have had a sponsor.
That would have been a great sponsorship opportunity.
Yeah, it would have been. But the point is, for him to walk away just because his wife is having an operation?
Whatever.
That's not real prioritize.
Prioritize your life.
You know, I agree.
That's good sound advice. Prioritize your advice. Wife, number two.
Well,
yeah.
Work, number one.
Mm-hmm. And this is wife number two.
That's
or
a quick
three
way to get
him.
Wife number two.
I mean, wife ranks number two, work ranks number one, said the single guy. Work comes first.
That has always been my work ethic.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. Wife number two. Distant,
but
distant
if your
two.
Computer just happens to show the wrong time, then it's okay to not show up to work, right?
Right. That was a slam.
Wow, it was. Woo.
We have to break. Okay. Pretty good time to break because I think the audience is really ready for us to take a break. we're going to take a break, and then after that, we'll be back, and I don't know what we're going to do. This is 590, The Fan. We did not do the Burke segment earlier, so we have just enough time, I think, to do it at the tail end of the show, man. You know what the Burke segment is,
yes.
I believe. It goes like this. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
I'd like to introduce Tim Woodburn. What do you have, Tim?
So I was researching news for today's show, and this is a true story. It's actually a tragic story about a mountain climber named Hayden Kennedy, whose girlfriend was killed in an avalanche in Montana, and then he was so distraught about this that he actually took his own life.
Ooh.
Today. So I was thinking about you doing a story.
That's positive.
No, it's not positive. But let me tell you what is positive. Let me tell you what is positive. The advice I'm about to give right now is positive. Okay. Because
yeah.
I made a little flow chart here, Trevor. You see this little flow chart? Mountain climbing. Mm-hmm. Mountain climbing.
Okay.
On this side of the flow chart are all the good things that can happen when you go mountain climbing. On this side of the flow chart are the bad things that can happen when you go mountain climbing. Okay.
Yeah,
here's what's on the good side of mountain climbing. The best thing that can happen when you go mountain climbing is nothing.
Yeah.
You get to the top, that's it. Nobody cares. You're not
nice
on TV.
View.
Yeah, good view, website. Good pictures.
No. Right. Got to walk your way down.
Right. Now, let me read off a list of all the bad things that can happen when you go mountain climb, okay? You get killed by an avalanche. You get frostbite. You get trapped with your co-climbers, and you resort to cannibalism. You get eaten by a mountain lion. You get eaten by a polar bear. You
Goats.
Starve to death. You can fall and break a leg and freeze to death. A rock falls on you. You got to saw your arm off like that guy in that movie. Nothing. good happens when you go mountain climbing. That's the moral of that story.
I could not agree more. We've talked about this before.
That's a moral story.
And I don't think anybody feels sorry for that guy on the news when they go, and he lost 8 fingers to frostbite. Well, you shouldn't have done that.
Find another hobby. Find a hobby where maybe you won't lose fingers. Yeah. All right? This tip just in.
Or have to eat your friends.
Right. Yeah, who wants to do that?
I agree.
Can you imagine if we all went mountain climbing and we had to resort to that on this show? Come on now. Yeah.
Somebody go hungry because I'm not eating anybody in this room.
I'll starve.
Anybody else have anything to say? Dan? Is Dan even in there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm right here.
Tim's between us. I can't see. Did you have anything for the Berkshire?
I do.
Miss Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much. Great service is still out there. I bought a refrigerator, and they delivered it yesterday, and the company that contracts with this place that I bought the refrigerator from, these guys, it's a family-owned business. And this guy was telling me all about the stuff. And they deliver in Chicago. They deliver in, they're from Mississippi. They deliver all over the place.
They should advertise here. Then everybody knows about them.
I will actually talk with them. But they contract out with this certain place. And this guy was a former police chief in Mississippi, and he was talking about some of the stuff that's going on now. But man, this guy had a great accent like this, but the family was the wife and the father, and then they have a son, and this guy has his own route, but he was helping them. But I just wanted to say there is great service in out there still because. I didn't get the name of their company, but
what a great segment that is.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All that nailed great build up,
nailed it.
And nobody has any idea where the company is. Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you.
One and only.